of the episode. Oh, Jesus Christ.
What the actual fuck?
That's Craig. Craig is doing our recording from now on. By the way, we have started recording.
Are we recording now? Do we need to do locals?
Yes. Yeah, I have my local up and open ready, and I pressed this to just
Craig. You didn't fucking tell us.
Oh, I'm a bitch, I know. I'm terrible at hosting this show. Except I'm not hosting.
I thought you were just going to say you're terrible. And
you
nice.
Am terrible.
Our fucking local is going now. Come.
Let me turn off my fan, even though I really want it on.
I can't hear it. I'm going to try and hit the off button, but I'm still... Actually, I'm going to go and grab a Strepsil before we go. One more.
You can't hear it in Discord. You will hear it. You will hear it in Audacity because of Discord's got noise suppression.
I've been through like 5 Strepsils a day.
Local start, local start, local start. Right.
Coolio. So, a hearty fuck you to Podcastle.
Yeah. All right.
Last episode cost me $12.
Fuck me.
So that you hear that, listeners? Donate money to the Patreon.
Podcastle is now gone to shit. There is no free tier of Zencastr anymore.
And there was basically no announcement that there was going to be no free tier. It just sort of happened.
Yeah, so the free tier exists. It's just the storage is 1 gigabyte, and last episode's 3 audio tracks of 1 hour and 40 minutes were over 1 gigabyte.
Jesus fucking Christ.
This is... It's honestly... It's like, I know what's happened here. It's the, we're going to offer like a service that everyone's going to offer because, you know, that way we can get popular.
Money.
And then we're going to realize that, hey, now that people use us and are dependent on our service, we can just suddenly start charging them for it. But not like a little bit for it. Like, you know that, you know, like, how much is it? How much is it for like 1 fucking podcast?
So... It costs $12 a month.
But how much does that actually get you?
Not a lot. We still have like a limit on some things. They have all these extra fancy features they want you to use because what they're trying to do is they're trying to put editors out of a job. Like they've got all this generative AI and edit and sound magic.
Sorry, do they
Rishi
want us
Sunak.
To use...
I didn't know Rishi Sunak worked for them.
Do they want us to use AI to edit our fucking little podcast? What?
Yeah, because they want to be able to train the AI on people's voices because remember...
Oh my god, that's definitely what's going to happen. They're definitely going to be training the AI. Oh, for fuck
They're training
me.
The AI so they can make Ryan say the word.
God damn it.
Hey Frosty, which word is that? Could you tell me what it is in plain English so I can understand what I should be saying?
It's the word that got removed from Stellar Blade recently.
Yes, it is.
So I was actually going to do this episode with no notes because I wasn't sure if my voice was going to hold up because I've had a cold all last week where I couldn't fucking talk.
It's okay. Most of this episode is just the same 3 lines being repeated over and over again.
Yeah, we're in the cerebral zone.
Yeah, it's like we have to engage with like really intriguing topics. Like, what if you thought this episode was going to be good, but it actually wasn't?
What if we decided to just kind of fuck it up? Wouldn't that be?
What
funny?
If we decided to be really boring and not spend any money.
Oh god, like the start of this episode is like, ooh, we're gonna go somewhere interesting with this.
No.
And then for the entire episode, I'm like, oops, okay, any second now, it's about to get interesting.
You think
meditation.
We're gonna do something, you think we're gonna do something, and then it just goes,
it's over now, okay.
Meditations on the Bro Code, you might as well call this episode.
Yeah, it's like, oh, something interesting is about to happen. That's the credits.
And I'll ask this question at the time, but yeah. Hi, everyone. We're Stargate Oversight.
We sure are.
For sure.
I am your lovely host, Sierra Frost. My pronouns are she and her.
Hi, I'm Hopriel. My pronouns are she and it.
Yo, I'm Ryan. My pronouns are he and him.
Hi, Ryan.
How's it going, everyone?
So yeah, we are covering the Season 3 episode, Forever in a Day. And it's an appropriate episode, because I did watch this today and it took fucking forever.
I watched this today and it didn't take forever. I watched this like an hour ago.
Yeah, but I meant that it felt like forever watching it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched this today.
This is a good show. This is a good show, everyone. I have to keep saying this, but we do end up spending like half of the episode shit talking it.
It's a
good we got another stinker episode.
Season 3 is just the worst season on average.
It's also one of those shows that it's a good show if you watch certain parts of it.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like any show of this format. You take anything that's like a weekly show like this, say Star Trek or Stargate, or like
keep going, there's more stars.
I wasn't just going with Star Show. Doctor Who, like it's, you know, where it's like weekly, it's like there's an overarching plot vaguely, but it's like a monster of the week type thing. Like you're trying to stretch out a budget like across like this whole thing, and it's like some, you're going to have to account for the fact that because of what we have planned later on, this episode will in fact have exactly $0 of budget.
Listen, we need to pay for the Dogman costume, for the Dogman that's going to save our Liverpool comedian. So you're going to have to do this episode on the budget of a sandwich and however much it costs to rent a quarry pit in Wales.
Exactly.
Fucking hell, Flux was really bad. Chibnall, why? Sorry, Doctor Who being bad really annoys me because it could be good. And then it's bad.
Oh yeah, also speaking of Doctor Who, Graham Linehan, if you're listening to this, the shit that you've been posting on Twitter recently, as your lawyer, I recommend you keep posting it.
I have to fucking soy point because fucking I was trying not to look for shit.
Wait,
but
I haven't. One of the, I don't check this man's Twitter. How bad has it been?
It's bad. It's
he just called. He basically just called Russell T. Davis a pedophile.
Oh,
yep. Keep it up, buddy. Sue his ass.
This is right after. This is fucking right after Lawrence Fox just got sued for calling people pedophiles on Twitter.
I was gonna say, wasn't that really recent?
Yeah. Also, fucking Glenna, I most recently saw him begging Elon to give someone money. The woman in question is the nurse that went on the transphobic screed saying how she would fuck with her trans patients in her nursing job. Oh. That, of course, got reported to her employer. She got fired.
Yeah.
And then
she should.
It came out, this cis woman was the president of the Oklahoma Gays Against Groomers chat. And her husband has a conviction for pedophilia.
Yeah, not only is she not gay, she's also not against groomers.
It's so good. You can't write this stuff. And Glitter's just like, please, Elon, use your money from the anti-woke fund to help this woman who's lost her job.
I can only imagine Elon Musk's response to Glitter would be, who are you?
Do you think Elon Musk watches fucking old British fucking like obscure humor shows? Are you serious?
He probably only knows about Glinna because Glinna is like friends with Posey Parker or something, and they're all in like the turf group chat, and Glinna's the one guy, hey, I've got news, pay attention to me. And everyone's
everyone
like,
in
oh,
the group
off,
chat is, everyone in the group chat is like, who are you again?
Everyone in the group chat has him muted. Sorry, Graham. People with money only.
Not even that, just people of cultural relevance only. Like, it sucks to say, but Elon has cultural relevance.
Yeah, even if some of that cultural relevance has now aged horribly.
I mean,
yeah, well, I mean, most of that cultural reference is alleged anti-Semitism. Don't sue us.
Being in Iron Man 2 and getting owned by Tony Stark.
And also owning every company that will kill you.
Yep. Listen, oh, God, I look did you forward see... to being mown down by the autonomous Tesla that thinks I'm trying to rob it.
Did you fucking see that, merit? Like, that fucking really, really bad, like, 3D render demonstration of how Neuralink works?
Yeah, you mean the one that just showed it looking like they actually just cut your brain out? So basically, after showing
and, like,
that...
like, the chip they put in the video and the animation doesn't even sit flush in the head. They, like, don't even put it in properly.
Fucking someone showed me, like, the charger for that, and it's literally wireless.
Wait, there's a charger?
Well, yeah. It's a fucking wireless charger on your head.
Oh my god, do I have to, like, sit for, like, an hour against, like, a wireless, like, with my head against a wireless charger and be like, man, I wish I could move.
Have you ever seen, like a smartwatch charger? It's like a magnetic
plug.
It's that for your head.
But I got that, but I'm, like, imagining this, like, plugged into a all outlet and you've got it stuck there on your head. I'm like, wow, I wish I could go anywhere right now.
I mean, you might be able to plug it into a USB power bank.
Oh god, your Neuralink shuts down because you run out of during a power cut and you're just there like, well, shit.
Like, this isn't a joke. This is, I'm not, that is what I
said. No!
You have, of course you have to charge it. It's an electronic device in your head.
But if you're putting something in the human body, surely you should be able to set up, it needs to run on bioelectricity or like, however the human body works.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have that technology. I mean, to be fair, we also don't have the technology to do this. So
yes,
this thing definitely doesn't work. This thing definitely doesn't work.
Also, I love the only person that's apparently, tested it is someone who was paralyzed from, like, the head down. So of course they're going to like it. Like, he's literally, you know what I mean? Like, he's testing it on someone who is going to be like, anything is better than this.
Yes. And he's not leaving his bed so he could keep his wireless charger with him.
Oh. Fuck's sake. Oh. Fuck's sake.
I'm sorry. I've been on a tear of bad jokes. If you go to my Twitter, you can see the fucking smallpox blankets joke I made that I decided against putting in the episode. The fuck you.
Yeah, welcome to Stargate Oversight. We're joined by, as ever, our host, Ableist Hope.
Well, this episode is so shit. We just haven't mentioned about it at all. We just are
it's
not...
weird because they had budget for this because, like, they had enough extras to field, like, at least two other
SG teams. That's where all of the budget went, was to have, like, 20 guys at the start die.
No, it was to pay. It was to pay for ham sandwiches for those 20 guys to die.
No. It was to pay for the fucking technical. Because I'm just going to skip, like, 2 minutes into the scene. Because
damn,
we see
right.
a man driving Fred with a mounted light machine gun on it. Which is the coolest little thing. It's so cute. It's just a little guy. Which... is it a technical?
Yeah, like, this episode ends up... how does it end? I wish it ended now. No, it begins with... Just like SG-1 in a field with a bunch of extras, and it's like, oh man, these are the most dead-looking, these are the most about-to-die-looking guys I've ever seen.
They don't die, they're just never seen on screen again.
They do die, a bunch of them die. A bunch of them eat shit, yeah.
I didn't really notice that a bunch of them ate shit, because it was like, oh yeah, hey, everyone,
most of them
camera
eat shit.
The Abaddonians.
Most of them eat shit, that's why Jack has to like hop on their cute little guns, because everyone else is fucking dead.
That is true, yeah.
Cute little technical, little Jack.
Yeah.
And your cute little technical.
Evil Share showed up to Abydos, took the Abaddonians to some random scrubland, set her tent up right next to the captives, and was like, all right, I think we're cool here.
I thought the whole point in that episode was that the baby was hidden somewhere that she didn't know where it was.
No. The baby is still on fucking Arrakis. And,
Did you say Arrakis? It's Dune.
Yes, I can't remember what the
it's
fucking planet's fucking called.
Dune!
Yes, I know, but it's a desert planet. It's the same thing. Yeah, so I thought the baby was with like Kusuf and his people, and they just like tricked fucking Amonet and Herawa.
They did! Amonet... That's what happened in that episode!
Yes, I mean, so the kid is safe on fucking Abydos. That's it, Abydos.
And except then apparently.
Yeah.
Except apparently it's not, and they found the baby somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Didn't like decide to tell us how that happened.
No, Amonet just showed up there with her loyal guards that are not working, that are working for her, not Herawa.
And also, and is like, also, I'm vaguely kind of semi-not evil now. But I care about my child now, I guess.
I mean...
We'll get to that, we'll get to that.
Yeah. Also, I had to note here that as she was, like, standing by the tent, I was like, why is she standing there so cuntily?
Because she's serving cunt, and she's just like, come, Daniel, I will make you come. I got nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, like, her whole plan here is, like, I want to be the most murdered person in the world.
Hey, listen, she's facing stiff competition with those Boeing engineers that have been whistleblowing lately.
You mean the ones that, unfortunately, had poor mental health?
Yeah, you know, they zipped themselves into a sports bag and shot themselves 3 times in the back of the head, yeah.
Yeah, zipped themselves up into a Taco Bell bag.
How do you zip a Taco Bell bag?
Well, that's what the coroner's trying to figure out.
Listen, they just took some fucking Thallium seasoning and sprinkled it on their Taco Bell.
What do you mean?
There was a Boeing whistleblower, and he was recently found dead in his car.
Oh, yeah. The other phone whistleblowers out there now, we're wondering when he's going to die.
Yeah, that's it. There's several of the whistleblowers, and we're all hoping they live long, precious lives and well, don't fucking...
As a wonderful man on a certain engineering podcast said, there is also a distinct possibility, and I would also do this if I was one of those Boeing engineers, that this guy decided to kill himself in the most suspicious way possible, just to, like, as a fuck you to Boeing.
I would not advocate for that. Life is precious.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna like get myself some Taco Bell, not eat it, and shoot myself.
Yeah.
Just so everyone thinks Boeing did it.
Would be funny. Anyway, yeah.
That's called praxis.
Yeah. So Daniel goes towards Share, sees a fucking Herawa Jaffa come out, and in that moment he truly becomes Action Jackson as he guns him down with the 9mm.
Pulls out the fucking Glock and goes blah 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 blah.
Like, sadly, it's a Beretta, but King.
Also, all of like the Jafar are like rushing it, like they're zombies rushing the camp, like they're zombies from Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, they've got like an ambush set up on the hill with a hidden light staff weapon, and then Carter's just like up down left right airburst rocket and blows them up.
Yeah, and then, like, the rest of them are like, fuck it, we're just gonna charge them and all die, I guess, then.
Yeah, because this is when Jack gets on the fucking technical.
Yeah, this is like, yeah, it's literally just like a wave-based shooter at this point.
Listen, turret
with the worst AI.
Turret sections in 1999, man, so popular.
Yeah, it's a wave shooter, the worst enemy AI you've ever seen.
Oh, so anything developed by Mark Kern?
Yep. Did he make wave shooters?
I don't know, I'm just shitting on him as a callback to earlier.
I don't think he made those. I don't think Blizzard made those.
There were wave shooter modes for Overwatch at some point, probably.
I don't think he worked on Overwatch, did he?
It
was like a StarCraft guy or whatever, or fucking something, I don't know.
It was like a miniature callback, it's fine, we can move past it. Also, I'm pretty sure the Jaffa are either CG or it's like 5 guys cloned several times across the frame.
Okay, oh, speaking of the CG, I know I probably mention this every time, but I fucking love the eye glow CGI whenever like a Jaffa, like a Tuck Ghoul does anything. It's the worst fucking thing I've ever seen every time.
It's also just like... It's also, like, the same effect they've been using since season one. No updates, no changes, and it's great.
We ball. I mean, let's be real. It's been, like, what, 1 or 2 years since season one came out? So, you know, they've not gotten any better at it. They don't need to spend the money. It's not like we're making space. It's not like we're doing... We're rendering anything else. Anyway, yeah. Daniel goes to see Sharae.
He gets sissy hypnoed with the binaural audio.
Fuck, I can't even really deny that's not what happens.
No, that's exactly what happens.
Why does every villain in the show like always like try and sissy hypno Daniel?
Because Daniel is the most breedable, not femboy around. Like, we haven't invented Finster. We haven't invented Finster yet, and we haven't invented Jocat, so we don't have a good prime supply of femboys.
Yeah, yeah, the ghouls are like, we don't have femboy fishing yet, so what are we gonna do?
Yeah, we're just gonna kidnap Daniel Jackson, the Earth's most breedable...
You say that, but the dude is like 6 foot something and jacked. Like, I feel like if you were talking about, like, Jackson from the movie, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, if you are looking for a breedable fanboy out of Daniel Jackson, Jack O'Neill, and Tilk, you are picking Daniel Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Daniel Jackson is like a Clark Kent Superman situation. He has glasses on, which means he's the nerdiest man alive. Glasses off. Wow, who's this jacked man?
It's even better. It's like the guy just clearly got, like, built between seasons.
Yeah, Daniel Jackson, because Daniel jacked man.
And like, oh, fuck off. Like, he clearly just like worked out between seasons and they're just like,
yeah,
fuck it. We're not going to mention it. We're just going to fucking like have it.
Get off the keyboard.
Oh, go, cat. Yeah.
The cat is trying to edit my notes.
Ah, well, probably better. I was going to say, no, it's like, it's...
It's like a better episode.
It's...
Yeah.
It's
it would be a better like... episode.
It's one of those things where the actor either went, I want more relevance, like I don't want to just be the guy who sits there doing shit, so I'll get jacked. And then the crew and the writers tried their best to ignore it and tried their best to like go, no.
Daniel Jackson will actually quit the show and we will have a season without Daniel.
That isn't that surprising because I feel like the guy is clearly playing Daniel as not the nerd, but all the scripts are he's the nerd.
As I said, this is the moment when he truly became Action Jackson. Like, we're going to see more Action Jackson, but he will take a break. I think it's season 6 we have without Daniel.
Okay.
And then you say that, like, they, like, try and portray him as not the nerd. But, like, for the vast majority of the show, Daniel is the one that's fucking...
Yeah,
it's
the
weird.
Nerd is the only one getting laid.
It's like, by the way, like he is like inept and does like is like, oh yes, I don't understand people. Maha. Also, I get all of the pussy. Huh?
Yeah,
he's
like
horror. He's the horror protagonist.
Yeah. Oh my god, if he puts his bangs forward, he would have the fucking horror protagonist hat. I hate it.
I mean, it's accurate.
Yeah. That's the episode art, Daniel with the fucking hentai protagonist hair.
I got reincarnated as a crackpot conspiracy theorist alt historian.
But it turns out I'm right in this universe.
It turns out my racist conspiracy theories about Egypt are right in this universe.
Not only this universe. I do love how this entire show's premise starts off with there's no way the Egyptians could have built the pyramids. And
racism!
Yeah, I love the entire... I mean, the show predates Ancient Aliens, but at the same time, the premise of this show is basically what if Ancient Aliens was right, actually.
No, at the same time, this show might as well probably influenced Ancient Aliens.
Probably.
I was going to say this show would today air on the History Channel in the US, yeah, but they would say it's a documentary and actually real.
You are about to see a documentary of our brave troops in the Air Force dealing with the aliens that are controlling our world.
I do want to point out that the amount of people that apparently go to Shire Mountain and ask if the SGC is real is insane.
They all get shot.
Yeah, they don't get past the first post and they get no one.
Yeah, but yeah, if this was on the History Channel, though, Gould would be said with triple parentheses every time.
Gould. Yep.
So anyway, Daniel's being sissy hypnoed and Tilt becomes one of the troops as he aids in the murder of a fellow serviceman's wife.
Well, yeah, no, yeah, when...
That's like right at the end of the episode.
Yeah, when an episode...
No, it's right now.
When a soldier penetrates his fellow serviceman's wife, it's usually not this way, but...
Also, it's not usually a soldier, it's usually a random gun, anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I have to ask the question, though. Is killing your bestie's wife a violation of the bro?
Yes.
I mean, he hasn't killed her yet.
Well, he has. But also, okay, it doesn't matter. Yes.
Yeah. Do we want to just spoil the episode?
The entire episode is a sissy hypno hallucination.
You kept saying sissy hypno, so I thought us.
No, that's basically what it is. There's the scene where they're in bed later, and you can see Shari's got the strap on and everything.
Yeah. Is it like God a gold strap on? Does it have like loads of random ridges and a fucking like parasite head?
Yeah. They're going to sell the design and that'll be the foundation for Bad Dragon existing.
Oh my god, if this show had come out later in time, there would be gold fucking dildos and you know it.
Of course there would
be. They'd be definitely off-brand because I don't think they would be officially sponsored.
I feel like...
Didn't Bad Dragon get like either the license to have an alien dildo or make something that's so similar it might as well be licensed?
I mean, H.R. Geiger's probably.
Yeah, I mean, the Xenomorph, the whole thing about it is like the big pussy monster anyway.
Yeah.
The big pussy.
The big fuck.
Yeah, H.R. Geiger was like, yo, what if pussy was scary?
I mean, what do you mean, what if? No, I mean...
Listen, I can confirm it does not have teeth. The teeth are at the top and they're for biting.
Yeah, I can confirm that too. I'm just making the joke.
Man, imagine if it had teeth, though.
That'd be extra biting, so I'm down.
Imagine if it had teeth and then it had a second smaller vulva inside of it that like extends out.
No. Oh. No, thank you. That would be painful as fuck.
Whenever I've been on a date, everyone at work just looks at me and just nods. It's like, yeah, I know, I ran out of concealer. Don't worry about it.
Right, but
Have you been bitten by one of those extending vulvas again?
Yeah, it's the latest in the UK SRS where you get the biting vagina.
No, you have to go to Thailand to get that one.
Oh, it's experimental Porsche surgery.
Why are you fucking Sean Connery?
I don't know.
Push your galore. She got an experimental push.
007, 007, we have to send you to the clinic that makes you a xenomorph.
Like, how does it make you a xenomorph? It just gives you a pussy with a fucking retracting vulva that has a fucking mouth.
I mean, they have very advanced medicine in that series. They have the clinic that makes you gay. They have the clinic that makes you Japanese. Okay, the clinic that makes you Korean. The clinic that makes you white.
The clinic that makes you Japanese just fucking puts tape on your eyes and gives you fucking paint. Like, that's not a clinic.
No. They also rub some oil into your head, into you, to give you the yellow face makeup. Can't forget the yellow face. Keep up.
No, that's what I said. It's some paint and the fucking tape.
They literally just painted Sean Connery yellow.
Yeah, and then they taped his eyes. Like, that's it. Yeah, that's what they did.
I know. Anyway, Daniel wakes up in hospital and he gets
Everyone is like really awkwardly standing over him. Like, hey, Daniel!
So, your wife is dead, but good news, the alien chick from season 2 who got you addicted to her pussy and her weed, she's still alive. You can go marry her instead if you want.
Yeah. There's other woman, Daniel. God.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, oh, wow. I'm so glad that my wife is very much alive and that her loyal guard have taken her to a sarcophagus.
Daniel, about that?
Yeah, we,
She's in the morgue.
Yeah, we have, Look, Daniel, I don't want to say it, but we got a really great KD that match.
Like... Listen, we got 99% hostage retrieval.
Tilt called in his UAV and air package, to get his fucking, enhanced staff and find out where Sharo was and just fucking blast.
Yeah, he called down, he called down that orbital strike, he, like, team killed, like, a bunch of his own guys doing it, but, like...
Yeah.
He got them.
Upright, down, and most of the Jafar were gone.
He killed a load of guys doing it, but goddammit, that just makes him an even better American than he was before.
My favorite thing to do in Helldivers is when another player is being a dickhead, is to deliberately team kill them as we're evacuating.
Yeah, you see, you doing that is making you the dickhead, that maybe they're being a dickhead because you keep team-killing them.
No, I only team-kill them if they're a dickhead first.
How do you know they're being a dickhead and not just bad at the game?
Because they randomly just call a strike on you and there's nothing fucking there.
Honestly,
see, what I do,
that just means they're bad at the game.
Yeah. Is you throw the 380mm creeping barrage and you stick it to a charger and you watch as that charger runs towards your teammate and like, ah, fuck.
God damn it, I got orange juice on my pillow.
Hey.
Sure you do.
Anyway, Daniel sees his wife's body and is like, oh fuck, she's actually dead.
Not yet.
Oh, yeah, right, because he then traumatizes her dad.
He has to be told that Teal'c murdered his wife.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Honestly, like, Teal'c just has the perfect, like, at this moment, he just has, like, the perfect, like, this man is going to fucking murder me and I deserve it, face.
I'm so sorry, Daniel Jackson. I broke the bro code and I killed your wife.
Honestly, the whole Teal'c's character works with honor and blah, 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 blah. It makes sense that he would honestly be like, yeah, I know I saved your life, but I'd probably kill someone who saved my life to kill my wife. So, yeah, I get it.
Honestly, I'm not surprised Teal'c doesn't just pull out a pistol and is like, here you go, Daniel Jackson.
Yes,
still feel upset. Shoot me.
It is chambered in 45 Colt. I hear it is the stopping power cartridge.
No, he pulls it out and he goes, I have heard from reliable sources the Colt single action army is the greatest handgun ever made.
Do you know the basics of CQC, Daniel Jackson?
No, actually, no. Honestly, I don't agree with you there. I think alternatively, this is the scene where he waits for Daniel to wake up and just commits honorable suicide in front of him.
Daniel Jackson, please behead me if I fail in my committing of harakiri.
No, he just pulls up the fucking staff and points at his chest. Anyway, enough about suicide.
It's okay, we live in Britain, it's constantly on our minds. Anyway,
then Daniel goes outside and traumatizes Kusuf by going, yo, my wife is actually alive, everything is fine, she's gonna be fine.
I'm so happy to hear that, and like the rest of them are like immediately like, dude, no. She's dead.
Stop it. She's fucking you're dead. Making it so much worse. Please stop it.
Yep. And there she is, dead on the slab around the corner.
Yep.
Shit sucks. dead wife.
The ultimate wife guy, wife dead.
Yeah, what will Daniel's character be now he does not have wife?
I mean, if he was the ultimate wife guy, he would simply not allow his wife to be murdered.
And that,
yeah,
checkmate.
Pain.
Yeah. He's in
the hospital bed. He's got the beard of sorrow. He's drinking whiskey. He's refusing cookies. He's real grumpy, and he's like talking about ballpoint pens.
Look, I thought this scene was like really fucking weird, where Daniel was like looking at the pen and being like, "Wow, I loved my wife. She had the brain of a child."
My wife who didn't understand things that I, a smart modern earthling, understand because she was raised in a primitive backwards
society. No, seriously, he does literally talk about her like she's a fucking child or a dog.
The problem is Sharae has not really been on screen much, and when she has been on
screen... She's not a character!
Yeah, she is not a character.
She's a plot device.
She is a sexy pregnant lamp.
A sexy pregnant lamb. I'm like hiding all of my furniture from you if you ever visit the house now.
Listen, they just put up a cardboard cutout of woman and were like, "Daniel, go and rescue woman." It ain't good. But it's the 90s, and I guess it's the 90s. Not good, but it's the standard.
And now this is the moment in the episode where I almost thought they were gonna do something interesting.
Yep.
Because we suddenly get the flashback of the moment of death. Suddenly we hear the voice, Shari is like, champion warrior of light, here, think, feel.
Kiss the crystal.
Exactly.
Kiss mommy high.
You have to defeat Ultimate Weapon, Daniel.
Daniel. The hammer of darkness has been brought down upon the shield of light. I cannot protect you. Defeat Gaius Van Belsar.
Well done for getting the crystals back. Now please, like, murder this really old man. Also, you unlock a really cool dragon mount now.
Yes.
I thought something interesting was going to happen, because now we get the scene where it's like, oh, Daniel's woken up, but...
Sharae is
alive. There's going to be some, like, weird, like, alternate, like, reality or some, like, Groundhog Day looping type stuff. No.
Oh, she's fine, no. Actually. The Tok'ra have been useful and resurrected her, right?
Who's the Tok'ra? What? Who are the Tok'ra?
Someone had a phoenix down on them, you know?
Exactly. The white mage rezzed her. It's all good.
Anyway, she gets horribly ripped away because this is, in fact, a nightmare, and Daniel's instead wishing, fuck, I wish I could go back in time to 1969 again. I met a nice twink there. I want to go and see him again. I wonder what he's doing now. Hope he didn't die of AIDS.
He goes to see that twink, in fact.
He does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. You want to go right to a cabin? Fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm not okay, boss. I'm crawling in my skin. I'm listening to My Chemical Romance, and I want to quit the US Air Force.
Yeah.
That's something I could just do.
Hallen, well, he can. He's a civilian contractor. He's like... Grover. Yeah, Hackens is like, I have to remind you, you have the equivalent rank of a lieutenant colonel.
Which means you are allowed a manservant.
My god, Dr. Jackson, you are the finest electrical engineer that the US Army has ever seen. I think you would even be good enough to build your own house.
Fuck you!
It
all comes back to Grover.
This has already gone on too long. This is...
It all returns to Grover.
Hey, that's coming up soon, that is.
Yeah, we need to do Ava. I need to remember.
We do. Yeah, so he resigns. Hammond tries to do, like, the fucking M007 thing of being like, oh, actually, we're going to just put you on holiday leave instead. Mm. It's like, no, I'm fucking leaving. Fuck off.
I quit. I'm done. I have found my wife. She's in a pine box. I'm gone.
I found my wife. She's in a pine box. That's good, right?
Yeah, so yeah, he's going to take his leave. He's packing away all of this shit.
I love Jack in this scene. Like, why are you quitting? What could you possibly hate? The workplace bullying, Carter being a lesbian, the exciting new cultures that are always trying to kill you, the weird shit with alien technology.
Look, we got to work with this new guy now, and he cries when I call him gay. Also, I'm really transphobic to him.
He screams also, when I give him a titty poster in the show.
Really transphobic.
I didn't get that, but I didn't pick up on that.
Towards the end of the episode, I had to do a, like, double, like, well, I don't know, the audio equivalent of a double take. And then remember that this show is from the 90s, because he refers to, like, Daniel's nerd replacement, with Caitlyn Jenner's dead name. This is, in fact, pre-transition. Caitlyn Jenner has not transitioned at this point.
This is literally, I also don't get what the reference means, calling the guy that.
Mentioned that he did, like, decathlon in college, and, like, Caitlyn Jenner was a prominent athlete at the time.
I was a little bit confused on the reference.
Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, this joke has not aged well, and it seems like Jack is just being transphobic instead of this guy.
Honestly...
this guy's a tranny!
You can't really blame them for not knowing that...
I'm saying that's why I had to, like, remember that this was the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, quite a long time before.
Yes. Yeah. This is why. Because at first I was like, huh?
Jack O'Neill transphobic.
Fine, I can have that as the cover instead.
No, don't do my birthday. You don't do anything wrong.
Okay, right. Jack is like, fine.
Yeah, it's you, like, soy Jack pointing at the thumbnail and being like, transphobic question mark?
Find out.
We have a red circle around Jack just to make sure you don't miss him in the thumbnail.
Oh, it's just like a fucking soy Jack, like, pointing at the fucking thing. Like.
Anyway, having gone past Panther, he must now get past Wolf. I mean Tilk, to complete the workplace leaving obstacle course.
Are you fucking pulling a fucking Gladiators reference in the year of our Lord?
Yes, I am. It's back on TV in the UK right now.
It's never good.
Don't care. It's cheesy.
I've never seen Gladiators, but my impression of the show of those kinds of shows that we make over here is like it's like Takeshi's Castle, but we're not allowed to kill the guys.
It's like Takeshi's Castle, but homoerotic. It's two big guys wrestling.
Listen, all I'm gonna say is there was in the older one some quite nice, muscly women in it. That was, you know,
yeah,
based.
And I think in the newer one, they're not quite the same because probably rules and regulations on certain drugs. I'm not going to like name what that is. Probably just they're not using steroids anymore or a lot less steroids, but it's likely that that's part of the reason.
Yeah, Roger Moore got the show shut down. They can't get any more horse steroids.
What game show do I have to go on to get Rhea Ripley to step on me?
I don't know, but can I join you?
Same. Anyway, Tilk is like
Patreon cut, right? Yeah.
Nah, we'll see. Tilk is like, Daniel, is there a human ritual I can do to apologize for breaking the bro code?
Yeah, it's
would
cult.
You like me to commit seppuku?
Yeah. Hey, I'm really sorry that I killed your wife, but I'm actually neurodivergent, so it's actually kind of problematic if you're mad about me for this.
Aren't you like I'm technically a minor?
That's awful.
Yeah. But he's neurodivergent and a minor, Ryan. How could you?
So, so...
Again, like, my notes are just like, how is this okay? Like, the Official Secrets Act, what work is Daniel Jackson going to be limited on? Like, this man knows about the most secret thing and the aliens exist, and they're just going to, like, let him quit?
Well, they are going to let him quit, and then he's going to mysteriously end up in a Ziploc bag, having killed himself by shooting himself in the back of the head three times.
He's going on an archaeological dig. He's just going to be, like, attacked by bears or something.
He's going to go on an archaeological dig to Guantanamo.
Actually, he's getting on American Airlines Flight 93.
Wow, I can't wait. I've always wanted to see, I've wanted to see the sights, taking the Capitol. I mean, I've got security clearance. Maybe they'll let me see the Pentagon.
Anyway, Daniel's like, fuck you, I never want to see you again, we're not friends, I will see you at the funeral, and then I will piss on your memories and, like, go to a dig site on the other end of the world. Maybe Myanmar?
We're not friends, and you killed my wife, we're not friends. Sorry.
I'm gonna head off. I'm gonna go to Myanmar. I'm gonna learn how to 3D print some guns.
I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna take over the base. It's like, sorry, Daniel. What?
I'm gonna go to North Korea, and what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna recruit a bunch of North Korean terrorists to take over my house.
It shouldn't be that hard. I don't have to tell them that there's real food there.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. The only thing in my way is Denzel Washington. Can't be that hard.
I don't know. I've never personally met Denzel, so I wouldn't know that.
You know, it's one of those situations. Sometimes you just have to have a White House.
Sorry, you cut off.
It was a bad joke. It's fine.
Oh, you're allowed to cut out your bad jokes by your own fucking mic failing. Oh, I see.
Anyway, listen.
Dodgy needs it, so.
Listen, right? Sharae may be in your morning, but she's in my dreams, in my bed, and she is dream pegging me, is how
Daniel
is getting it right now.
That's all I need.
Yeah. I feel like you need to wear Ripley dream pegging.
It's me. For God's sake.
Does her theme music play while it's happening? Because if so, that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you're just like asleep in bed and suddenly awakened as like her theme music starts playing.
I mean, I would just get up immediately and turn and face the door. Like that would.
Oh my god, she's come up behind Ryan with the steel strap.
Listeners, what you have learned today is that all of us are sucker for goths.
We are.
I'm a fucking muscle ghost with big asses. Like, what do you want from me?
Have you, Frosty, have you heard of our Australian friend, Adra?
No.
She's so pretty.
Wow. Women, pretty.
She's really funny. Yeah, women are pretty. It's a real surprising thing.
Almost like Hope thinks every woman she ever sees is pretty.
Because they are, Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently every man is ugly. No debate there, cool.
What, are we expecting support from me?
I don't know, just anyone.
Yeah, anyway, hey Daniel, listen. I'm taking my strap, be a good boy, find the boy, forgive Tilk for killing me because, you know, I'm dead. And you're actually just really, really missing me. But yeah.
You kind of go nuts, Daniel.
Find the boy!
The boy!
So when we end, cut to the next day, and we have a lovely traditional ancient Egyptian funeral. Daniel confesses to being a fuckboy in ancient Egyptian, I guess.
He does, yeah.
That's definitely what happens here.
That is what happens here. That's literally what happens. Nah. He is apologizing to Shaare for fucking about.
He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't get you in time. I'm sorry Tilt killed you. I'm sorry
I did so much fucking
coke with that one woman.
Yeah, but you see, she was fucking around with Gets to Will while having someone control her, so it's the same thing, right?
No.
Hey, it's the 90s.
I think the funniest thing here is that it's not just Daniel and SG-1 are there. Doc Frazier is there supporting her wife, Carter. And Hammond is there in the ceremonial 10-gallon hat as befitting an Air Force officer.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have the ancient Egyptian bagpipes playing.
They put the flag of Abydos onto the coffin. They roll it up. They just tip the dirt in. And then Daniel just shows us how crazy he is because he's like, yeah, Kusuf is also talking to me and being mysterious.
He's not dead.
Yeah,
as Daniel, is Shaare again.
What?
Daniel, forgive Tialk and find the boy. What do you mean by this?
Could you explain it in a clearer manner?
Okay, yes, Daniel. You remember the boy?
No.
The boy, my child.
No, I didn't remember.
The child. Huh? You know, the child who has all of the secrets of the gold.
What child?
Daniel has to have this explained to him like 5 times.
Yeah, I know.
Daniel is the densest motherfucker this entire episode.
It's not even like it's rephrased every time. It's just like every time Shaare is being like, you dumb fucking cunt.
Oh, she is done with his shit by the end of it.
Yeah. Oh, I just fucking love the end of this scene where Daniel returns to Cheyenne Mountain and is like, I've got to talk to Carter.
Yeah. And we also see Jack abusing Marathon.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, Jack abuses Caitlyn Jenner. And he's like, George, listen, I need to talk to you in your office. I think we need to talk. And
so Daniel at this point says to Tealc, you did the right thing. All right, so, okay, cool. You got about part of that message. You've just left that already. Good, okay.
Yeah, you managed to forgive Tealc, even though forgiveness and acceptance takes a very long time.
What?
And a lot of emotional work, sure.
Well, you figured out what Shaare meant by forgive Tealc is forgive Tealc. Okay, you got that part right.
Yeah.
You haven't figured out what the rest of the message yet says, so you like you just go up to Carter and be like, hey, that like weird hand thing, can it like send words to you?
Yeah.
I mean, while you are being busy hypnoed, you can receive subconscious messaging, though mostly it's just be a good girl.
And then he's like, well, I got a message from her, but I don't know what it means. It's like, he could not have been more clear! It's not even like a riddle, she says it like straight out, forgive Tealc, find the boy. He's like, well, I have no idea what that means.
She literally gives him a shopping list. Forgive Tealc, find boy, bury me, keep going through the Stargate, you're the best.
And then I don't understand what this is.
So I need to leave and go to Myanmar and ignore Tealc forever. And then she just
I need to go to the superstore to buy clothes.
Anyway, I'm gonna go home now. Yeah, he goes home.
Yeah, at his house, it's like, oh, hey, Daniel, it's me, Jack and Kusuf. We broke into your house to tell you to stay on the team because you're based.
We broke in here and your father-in-law wants to tell you, for fuck's sake, are you so fucking dense? Do you not understand?
Find the fucking boy, dipshit.
No, I don't understand. Shaare, can you tell him to find the boy again?
I've tried. He's too dense.
he again is told by the Share illusion to go and find the boy, and he again does not understand.
And then he goes and talks to Teal'c. It's like, hey, what happens when two gold shag?
And then Teal'c tells him exactly the same thing.
And then
Share just told him. Well, finally a man told me this.
Oh god, it is. I have been told this by a man, and now I understand. I must find the boy. I haven't got my drop set.
I love how like we went on so many tangents, but when we started actually talking about the episode, it took like 5 minutes.
Yeah. Yep. It's like 25 minutes at the start to cut, and then there's the episode, which is just find the boy. What? Find the boy. What? Find the boy. What? You dumb motherfucker! Wait,
honestly, at a certain point, she should literally just be screaming into a pillow. Just
yeah. Well, that's what Daniel was doing.
No, they should do it so unsubtly. Like, Daniel drinks a cup of tea, and at the bottom of the mug, it just says, find the boy, dumbass.
Yeah, but then he'd be like, what about that? I wonder what that means.
He's just like, he's playing cards and he keeps drawing the fucking child.
So yeah, we then, Daniel's going to Hammond's office to say, I want back in the crew because I have to go find the baby.
The baby.
I have to go find the bridge baby from Death Stranding. And in there is Jack saying, hey, Daniel's replacement is actually Cringe and Beta.
He doesn't get any pussy, sir. It's disgraceful. Like, how are we meant to get in with the locals if Daniel's not fucking them?
Daniel's replacement is not fucking everything that moves whilst also claiming to love his wife. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, he's slow and he's not athletic at all.
Not like our nerd Daniel, who is jacked and 6'4".
But yeah, Daniel's back on the team, and it's time to immediately go on a mission to Purple Planet.
Yeah, Daniel's back on the team, and Jack immediately says to Daniel's former replacement, I'm sorry, but I do not believe that trans women are women.
Damn it. dear me. So yeah. They go to the planet of the purple drank, where the purple drank grows on trees, and then Daniel just fucking books it back through the gate. He's like, screw you, I'm going somewhere else.
Yeah, Daniel is like, haha, I'm gonna be a funny little guy.
I'm just gonna trap what you if here. I, bye.
What if I left? What if I just dialed somewhere else? And then ran away, like a little gremlin?
Wouldn't that be
if
funny?
If it sucks, what if I hit the bricks?
Wouldn't it be funny?
So yeah, we end up right back at the start, and fucking Share is like, you dumb motherfucker, the boy is on Keb, find the boy.
And then we learn the really cool part was that none of this episode actually happened.
Yeah. It was one of the truly it was all a dream episodes.
Yeah, and then it creates the most confusing situation for everyone else involved, in which Teal'c has walked into the tent, killed Daniel's wife. Daniel immediately goes, it's okay, I forgive you, and everyone is like, wow, he's taking this really well.
He really must want to get back out there and get in some alien pussy.
It is the single most, like, this must make no sense from everyone else's perspective. Like, everyone else must be so confused.
Well, it's almost like Daniel experienced forever in a day.
Oh, God. See, you could have made this some really cool, trippy episode if this was made nowadays with a lot of, like, fancy... Hold on.
Okay, I think she just died.
Well, we're gonna have to put the bagpipes out for Hope now.
Ah, my lungs are still in my chest, fuck you. They're trying to fucking escape. They're
trying to get out. I'm not letting them. They're trying. I'm not letting
Amazing Grace.
Anyway, yeah.
Sweet.
You could definitely have some fun and made a mindfuck episode nowadays, but they were limited by the 90s and didn't have the imagination to make it weird.
Limited by the 90s. Such a great phrase.
What does this episode say about the US military?
Fuck all!
Because
it was all a dream.
I guess that they're all expendable and they don't matter.
We'll weaponize anything. Look at the little guy, which that's actually the episode art. It's going to be the fucking little guy.
Look at the just give it like some fucking blushing cheeks and like an oo-woo.
Yeah, but Ryan, you say that the modern US military weird like anime guys would actually do that now.
They would.
Yeah, but do it then. I don't know, maybe the military
I'm becoming like the feminist left-wing equivalent of like the dudes on Twitter who like post like military being a little fruity with it and being like, this is what our enemies see. They see this weakness and they know they're ready to it. They know that we're weak enough to take over now.
Listen, I'm just saying congratulations, you drew Sidewinder Chan looking cool.
Uh-huh.
She's a noise musician, it's cool.
And I'm taking the alternative take of being like, wow, it's so cool that we give all these weird anime fan incels guns.
Yeah, it's great. I'm sure nothing bad will ever happen.
It's all we have to do to give people who are fucking, like, you know, weird incels guns is promise some money and a Camaro. That's all it takes.
Oh.
You don't even need to promise them a Camaro now, apparently. All you have to do is promise them a sweepstakes for the chance to win an Xbox.
Yep.
That's not a real thing.
That was the fucking
that is not a real thing.
Don't you remember the esports Twitch account thing?
Yeah.
Part of it, they did a sweepstakes with the opportunity to win an Xbox if you enlisted today. It's not even you get an Xbox if you enlist, it's the chance to get an Xbox if you enlist.
I'm pretty sure they are working on a US Army VT official or something stupid.
I don't need to hear this.
It's okay, they'll just draw shitloads of porn of her and they'll have to stop.
I can't wait for them to release a new America's Army game and, like, at the start in the user license agreement that nobody reads, it's like, by selecting I accept, you are hereby enlisting in the US military.
I'm British.
You know what? Fuck this episode. So the new Fontaine area is bloody beautiful in Genshin.
It is really
beautiful. Actually, the only reason I started playing Genshin again is because I saw the area and I'm like, oh, this is lovely.
Yeah, welcome to France. It's ruled over by the ultimate fail girl and you can pull for her evil wife right now if you're playing.
Yeah, I'm trying.
We do not encourage gambling.
I want to get her. I am currently doing all I can to not gamble. As in, you know,
I saved 150 pulls for her and her weapon.
Well, I have a solution to you if you're having problems and struggling with your addiction to Genshin Impact. Actually, I have a different solution, and it's have you considered for your addiction seeking Canadian healthcare? Thank you, everybody. We have been Stargate Overside.
Fuck off!
If you don't see Hope in a while, she got Canadian healthcare.
Oh, we need to. I don't think we did a bonus.
Oh god! We're gonna have to start the Patreon version of this. The description for the Patreon version is just gonna have to be content warning everything.
I thought it was gonna have. I thought you were gonna have to say it has to be content warning Canadian healthcare, and I thought that was.
Okay. Cool. So yeah, we've got the next episode's the bonus, which is. We can either do the delayed Eva, or I can my turn, because I did technically pick on Deadly Ground.
Well, yeah, it is your turn, and you picked Eva.
Yeah, okay, cool. We'll do Eva.
It is your turn, and you picked for next week. This. All right.
Okay. All right, fuck off, everyone. Episode's over.
Yeah, bye.
Bye, get out of my face.